to season two of The Skinny. I'm your host, Shazan, and on The Skinny, we get down to the nitty-gritty of living your best and empowered life now. I'm a wife, mom of two, daughter, sister, friend, and mompreneur. So I know from experience that as women, we have many shoes to wear, and it's not just the ones in our wardrobes. This season, we're going deep with lady chats and girl talks about topics that impact our multifaceted lives as women daily. Funny how some people think that just because we have strong opinions about our style and fashion, that we won't, can't, or don't have strong opinions about what's going on around the world and in the news. Well, we crush all of that on The Skinny. And yes, that definitely includes style, fashion, and beauty too. So let's hit it, because it's showtime. Hi, everyone. I hope you had an absolutely amazing week. I'm so excited because it's The Skinny's 1 year anniversary show. Yes, it is. So I'm like, woo, okay. It feels like it's actually been a lot longer than a year, but not at all. We're still building the most important part of anything, which is the foundation. So we're still a baby, but we're one. So this is our 29th episode and 1 year. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you guys for taking this ride with me. I am so appreciative, and I have to remind myself sometimes, I'll share it with you, and it's Zechariah 4:10. Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. So I trust in that. I trust in it. I hold on to it. I have to remind myself. And so that, my beautiful people, concludes the Sunday school lesson for today. But do I have a treat for you on the show today? Oh, I'm excited. And I know that this is going to be so great for you guys. So I can't wait to share. And our guest is a phenomenal woman, best-selling author of Being a Wife, Just Got Real, Things I Wish I Knew Before I Said I Do. How many of us have said that? She's founder of the Real Wife Movement, empowering singles, engaged, married, and divorced women with tools to create strong marriages, relationships, and families. She is also the founder of Forever Free Books, which is a mobile literacy nonprofit organization, which delivers books to kids that are less fortunate, which is so fantastic. She is also the host of the Tanya Barnett Show. And on top of all of that greatness, hello, her most proud accomplishments, of course, is that she's a wife to her husband, Don, and a mom of three amazing children. So after all of that, please help me to welcome to the show none other than the Real Wife Coach, Tanya Barnett. Thank you for being here with me today.
Thank you so much. I'm like, who's she talking about? Is that me?
That is all you. That is all you. I appreciate you being here.
Honored. I really am honored. Thank you.
Well, this, we'll jump right in because we're going to try to cover as much as possible, because everything here is so good. And I want to make sure that we get as much juice out of you while we have you. So right off the top, before I actually do that, let me tell you guys, I had the opportunity of meeting Tanya just once, and our meeting, it's like when you meet somebody and then you have that immediate connection, and then you're talking like you've known each other for years, and then you start connecting on things and connecting on marriage, connecting on kids, and it just like flows really effortlessly. Well, that was the first encounter with Tanya, and so I'm so excited to have her on the show for you guys to get some of that goody-goody with her too. So like I was saying, you're an advocate for marriage, an advocate for wives, and you've created a movement. And mm-hmm. it's actually a support system. And now you're in the process of creating an empire for this purpose and for your movement to, you know, go beyond and for it to spread even more internationally and nationally. But what ignited this mission for you?
Wow. Well, the mission started for me when I wrote my book, You Know, I Just Got Real. Mm-hmm. And right at when I had people doing the pre-reads, when I had a focus group, so many people in the focus group, single, married, divorced, they all said that they saw themselves in my book and they wanted more.
Right.
And then once the book was launched and within a couple of days, because my book is a very easy read, so you can knock it out in a couple of days, mm-hmm. I had so many people DMing me, people calling me, texting me, people crying on the other line.
Wow.
Just saying that they found themselves in the pages, or they loved their husbands but hated being married, or loved mm-hmm. being married and hated their husbands. And how mm-hmm. can I help them get back to the love part? Because that's where Don and I were by like year 13. We just, right. I think we tolerated each other mm-hmm. And stayed married because of our kids. And we had to hit a low point and build our marriage back up from that low point. And so right. when those women were reaching out to me, my heart poured out. And my mentor was like, you have something here that people need. And right. so that's how the Real Wife Movement was born.
And so how long have you been married?
18 years.
Okay. And how long were you dating for before you got married? Because you said it was like a year 13 that it was like a little, did you guys know each other for a really long time before you got together?
No, we met, we dated for about a month. We fell out of contact, reconnected almost a year later, and mm-hmm. we're married 6 months. So to be honest, we did not know each other. We didn't know anything about marriage or each other. And so we brought all of that baggage into our marriage.
So do you think that the length of time that you dated for prior to getting married played a role in the challenges that you guys faced in the marriage, or were those challenges kind of inevitable?
You know what, to be perfectly honest, I think we had our challenges because we were both extremely immature and selfish people. Mm-hmm. I think had we both, number one, received counseling before we got married, individual counseling. I'm not talking about marriage counseling. We did marriage counseling with the pastor mm-hmm. and the book, all that.
Right.
But have we really done individual counseling before we got married? Mm-hmm. I don't think the amount of time in between dating and marriage would have mattered.
Right.
Because like I said, we were both very damaged goods. We both brought all of that into our marriage. And we just basically, you know, made each other miserable because we weren't healthy or whole people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And the thing is, where my husband and I, too, we're going on 18 years. And
woo, congrats.
It sounds so crazy when you say it out loud. It's like, what? We met the ending of July, beginning of August. We started having conversations, and he lived in a different state than I did. And then we got to talking, and then long distance phone dating. And then he relocated like 3 months after we met. And then by the following June, we were married. So people were looking at us like, okay, you guys haven't even known each other for a year. This is not going to work, or, you know, all the different things that come. But we have been together all of this time. And like what the question that I was asking too, I've definitely had that process through my mind where it's like, okay, the things that you encountered during the relationship, is it because of the timing that you were together, or, you know, are we encountering this because we would have just encountered it anyway? And for us, which I don't really think is unique, but I can only relate from my side, is I think that a lot of what we were going through seemed like it was magnified because we were married and going through it. But I think a lot of the learning and growing together that was happening that you, I guess you do that during a regular relationship if you're in a long-term relationship, but that was happening with us while we were married.
Right. Makes sense.
Yeah. And it's something where I'm never like, oh, it's not going to work if you don't date for like 3 years first or 2 years first or whatever. Cause I don't have that example for me, you know, it worked. And here you are where it did work. It takes work and effort, but you know, it can work. And so with that, the saying of you have no idea about what's really going on behind closed doors, you know, it's right. Like you see a happy couple and this, that, or whatever. What were some of the things that were going on behind your closed doors that you just had to change? You know, when you got to that point, you realized this has to change.
Wow. Well, one of the things was, you know how they say never go to bed angry?
Mm-hmm.
We were doing that all the time. So that was going on. We weren't speaking to each other. Sex was minimal. It just was not a good thing for us. And then we would dress up and go out, and people just thought, oh my God, you and Don, y'all are just like model couple. And I'm like, if you own this.
Right.
You know? So I'm not speaking to each other. That was huge, the whole silent treatment.
Mm-hmm.
It was crazy. You know, and I just thank God that we are no longer in that space.
Right. And so one of the things that I find so commendable and admirable about you is your transparency and like your honest self accountability of your role and how that, you know, played into the marriage and stuff. Because a lot of times it's so easy to kind of pretend like that stuff isn't there. Was it a hard place for you to get to, like the realization of what your role was?
It was not a hard place to get to. It was difficult because of, you know, self-discovery and being honest with yourself. I think that was the hardest part. But because I love my husband and I love being a mom with him being the dad in home, that was my focus. Like, you know, when we talked about divorce, and we talked about divorce a lot, it always came back to but the kids are used to both of us going in their room at the same time and kissing them goodnight and tucking them in and tickling and all that other stuff.
Right.
And we talked through that. We're like, how is that going to look if you don't live here? Are you going to come over every night or vice versa? Am I going to come over every night? And so I'm like, that's crazy. You know, so we really, and I know people said that they would never stay for their kids, but I'm telling you right now, to me, because there was no abuse, there was no physical anything. It was just two immature people just constantly bump heads. And so for me, for my kids, and I thank God that I was selfless enough to put my kids first. And my husband did the same thing.
Right.
Whereas now here we are, and kid number two is on her way out the door in a couple of months for college.
Right.
That we'll be nesters, and now we love each other and we're friends.
Right. And it's always such a unique thing because here it is, the kids played a major role and the health of your children's relationships with each other and just the health that comes from that, being in that unit with both of you there and what they're accustomed to of both of you putting them to bed, both of them, you have a routine and a system that's there.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, it's so easy to stand on the sidelines and be like, don't do this for the kids or don't do that or whatever. But you have to, each situation is so unique, you know, that you have to know what it is. If you have your children in a situation or an environment where they're hiding under the bed or whatever, that might not be something that, you know, you want to overlook when you're considering what your decision is going to be. But, you know, it's such a huge thing that you say that because in reference to what you just said, so many people, the go-to is don't stay together for the kids. But that's not a blanket statement because you know, there's your scenario. There's so many people's scenarios, you know? And so I strongly believe that like one of the only ways to get through the worst times is if both people truly want the same results. But do you believe that too? Or do you think it's possible if one partner is wanting to fix things more so than the other one, or the only one in the relationship that wants it fixed?
Definitely it has to be both people. That is hands down where both people want the relationship. And I share that all the time. You know, you could be putting in all the work, giving it your all. Mm-hmm. And if your spouse doesn't do it, it's just not going to work. And at that point, then that person has to decide, is this marriage worth it if I'm the only one putting in the work? And that's what I meant when I said Don and I initially were both very selfish and, mm-hmm. you know, didn't want to share and things of that nature. But definitely both people have to put in the work, because the relationship is not one-sided.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's I know that you also have a strong belief that marriage can be fixed, you know, which is one of the reasons that you are the awesome Real Wife Coach that you are, because, you know,
people stop hoping, they stop believing, they become cynical. Mm-hmm. And I just don't ever want to be that person. I don't ever want to give up hope. I don't ever want to stop believing. Because it's like, what do you have to live for?
Yeah.
You know, me personally, I really feel like if someone says, well, kids are resilient, they'll bounce back and they'll mm-hmm. get over it. Those people are very selfish, because children do hurt. They do struggle through parents' divorce.
So. Yes, absolutely. And so do you think, because I mean, in the platform where you are, you've been through quite a bit of different conversations with different people in different scenarios. Is there a particular formula for looking at your marriage and figuring, hey, I don't think this can work. I think you're too far gone. Is there a particular formula that you think works, or is there key things to make sure are in place to kind of give you that indication of if it can work or not?
I would say this. What Don and I had to do is we had to say, number one, do we want to be married?
Mm-hmm.
And if we want to be married, what does that look like?
Right.
Like really put on paper, what do we want our marriage to look like? Does that mean sex 3 times a week? Does that mean vacations? Mm-hmm. Does that mean going out to dinner? You know, mm-hmm. what does that look like? And then once you put that down and say, okay, this is what I want it to look like, are we willing to do the work? Are we willing to take the steps to get to that? And people never get to that. They just say, I'm done. I can't do this.
Right.
And then they bounce.
Yeah, you know, it's true. Yeah. And it's so easy. One of the things too is that it's so easy to do the blame game and identify quickly what the issues are in your partner, and kind of like graze over your own role in what's going on, you know? And so a lot of times because of that, you're just seeing your partner as the major, major problem or issue or whatever the negative is. And then just like you said, you're like, I'm done, you know? And it's not easy. Marriage is not easy. Just like, you know, building a career isn't easy. It's just a matter of, it comes down to, what are you willing to do? You know, and are you willing to put in the time? And so what do you think is, with all the people that you've worked with, married, single, divorced, you know, engaged, what is one of the most unrealistic or misguided expectations that women have about marriage or about their spouse, be it past if they're divorced, present, or the people who are getting married, spouse to be?
Wow. For them to be perfect, mm-hmm. and them to fulfill all their fantasies of what they believe their ideal spouse looks like. I've talked to so many single women, especially, who have this 30 item list. And I mean, I actually have a girlfriend who keeps it in her purse. If that man all does right. not have all of those, she is not talking to him, you know, nothing. And this is the crazy thing. When I met my husband, he was working in a school. He was making $12.75 an hour.
Uh-huh.
Can you imagine, had that been on my list, he must make this amount before he can get the time of day. Now my husband is, you know, a very, very comfortable six-figure person, mm-hmm. where I was afforded the opportunity to stay home with my children, homeschool my children, all that. Had I discounted him at that $12.75, I wouldn't have the man that I have today.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's when they, because it's so much that you can miss out on. It's so much that women can miss out on. It's so much that men, they can miss their partner for life and go with a horrible situation because you're looking at the ABCD materialistic, whatever, list, and forgetting to look at the heart and you,
right.
your blessing. You know, and it's one of the things that we hear all the time is like communication is key. And again, I've been married for almost 18 years and I say, yes, it is, but capital B-U-T. It's like Michael and I've discovered over the years that, you know, there's an art to communicating effectively, respectfully, and productively. And so what are your thoughts on communication and what are some of the other essential keys to a successful relationship and marriage for our listeners?
Don and I always talk about being allowed and giving your spouse the space to speak their truth,
mm-hmm.
speaking of, and then listen to their truth without judgment.
Right.
And that is like paramount for us, only because I was that wife for 13 years where everything my husband said, I judged. Mm-hmm. You know, if my husband said, hey, babe, you know, because we weren't intimate, you know, for the last week, I'm struggling and, you know, I'm looking at other women and I really need you.
Right.
My response used to be, I can't help it, it's your fault, for you're a punk, or you can't, you know, manage yeah. yourself or whatever. All this, you know, that's judgment. Mm-hmm. As opposed to now, you know, I make sure my husband doesn't feel that way.
Right.
So, you know, I just think in relationship, we have to, especially men, and that's why men fall into adultery, is because their wives don't give them a safe space to be honest, to be mm-hmm. vulnerable mm-hmm. without us, number one, judging them, and number two, trying to fix them.
Right. You know, it's interesting you said that, because the other day, I can't remember, there were some women talking and one of them said, there's no reason under the sun why once you're married that you should cheat. And then the other side of it was like, okay, well, what if you guys haven't been intimate for, you know, some marriages, people, it gets carried away where it goes to months upon months, or it, you know, it's like, oh, it's been a year, it's been a 2 years since the last time or whatever it may be, but you're expecting your partner, be it husband or wife, to remain faithful during all of that time. If they've come and, you know, expressed to you the way where it's like, okay, there's a lack here. Like, I want to be intimate with you, or this, that, or whatever. There's that gap, like the person's not hearing, but then you still have them figuring, we're married, so you better not be out there doing anything. Now, that to me, I'm like, okay, if you agree with that, are you saying you're giving the green light for the person to go and cheat? But then if you disagree, it's like, okay, what are you thinking? You haven't been intimate with your husband for 2 years and you think that he's just supposed to stay here because it's like, what, you know, there's so many wrong messages out there in relationships. That then opens that door to cheating. And that's such right. an important area, is that the conversation and that allowing what you said there is very powerful, allowing that space for truth and transparency about what the need is and not dismissing it or like, whatever, I don't want to hear that, you know, because then that's another problem area.
Right. And I'm going to be honest. I mean, I had a really good friend who she would say, you know, her and her husband are intimate on her terms because she refuses to allow herself to be objectified by her husband.
Oh.
And she was like, so men have a history of objectifying women. And I'm going to just total transparency moment here. For about 6 or 7 months, I was buying into that. Like, you're not going to objectify me because you saw some sexy lady on TV. You know, I mean, just
right.
crazy. And then here my husband is frustrated. We're arguing, not understanding that sex is a part of marriage.
Right.
We need it. To me, sex is communication. When I'm intimate with my husband and we're able to come together, believe it or not, it works. If you want to get some stuff done around the house, fixing something, he picking up the kids from, you know, it's a form of communication to
yes.
me. And so for years, I didn't understand that. So for a spouse to withhold, again, that's someone who's immature, selfish. And
exactly.
that was me for a long time.
Yeah. And for the women out there right now that are in the midst of, like, they're either going through difficulties or frustration, or they feel like they're in the midst of like a drowning relationship or a toxic relationship or marriage, but they want to try. What should the first steps be?
Ooh, I would say get individual counseling. Go get some counseling first.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the counselor will help you see you and your shortcomings. Because you can try your hardest in your relationship, but you're going to respond from your place of hurt, baggage, frustration, things of that nature. However, if you get your own counseling, then you're able to see the counselor. Hopefully, you have a great counselor who will help you see the situation, not only from your point of view, but also from your spouse's point of view.
Right, right. And so do you think, because a lot of times, again, back to referencing when you say that, you know, that you're the unrealistic expectations or this expectation of perfection, you know, you're like mm-hmm. setting yourself up for failure. You're setting your partner up for failure when you're looking at getting into, you know, a marriage with this kind of outline or guideline for what you think is up ahead. Do you think it's a good or bad thing for couples to do everything together or most things together, where it's like, oh, I can't wait for us to get married. We're going to do this and da 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 da. And then husband's probably like, what? We're going to do what? Or it could be the other way around, where the husband's like, now that we're married and we have to do this da 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 together. And the wife is like, what? So what is your opinion on that? I always find it so amusing.
It really is a conversation that needs to be had. I have a friend right now who is 15 years in, and her husband's expectation is that she's at every football practice, soccer practice, basketball practice. She has no life. And she's miserable.
Mm-hmm.
But that is, and then when I talk to her about it, she's like, well, you know, if I don't go, he's going to give me a silent treatment. So I'm like, well, how about if we start with why you're reacting that way, or why you're constantly acquiescing? Well, then come to find out her dad was verbally abusive to her mother. So she grew up seeing that subjugation because of verbal abuse or manipulation.
Right.
And so now her husband is doing that, and she's fallen into that same system. So, you know, I told her, you need to get some counseling. Don and I, we do some things together, but then we also have a life. Even when we go on vacation, this may sound crazy, but majority of our vacations, we go with other couples or with a group.
Yeah.
Because in that way, he can go do his thing.
With
I
the boys.
Do my thing. And we come together. Yes.
Yeah.
And then we come back together, you know? So,
yeah.
And we're okay with that. My husband isn't a jealous person. I'm not a jealous person, you know? And so, yeah, again, that's maturity, though.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yes. So what was the in writing this book, What was the process like for you when you were writing such a transparent book? Were you scared? Were you ever concerned about what your peers, colleagues, or family would think and say after learning about what was going on behind your closed doors? Were you, did that make you a little scared or hesitant while you were writing?
Yes. So I was mainly concerned about what my parents think. You know, I didn't want them to, you know, my dad to, you know, walk through my door and, you know, body slam my husband or anything like that. You know, because I didn't want my husband to be seen negatively. And he even struggled with that. There were some points in the book where he was like, can you not put that in there? And I just prayed about it. And I was like, okay, babe, if you really don't want me to. And then later on, he would come back and say, you know what, keep it in there. Because I want to show people that you can change. And so it was kind of scary. There were a couple of times where he was like, no, I'm not cool with it. I don't want, don't talk about me, just talk about you. And I'm like, okay, that doesn't make sense.
Right.
I have to have you in the book. But I wasn't really concerned about other people. I really was concerned about my parents and what they would think.
Right.
But my mom edited my book because she's an editor, and she edited my book, and she called me one day and apologized because she saw a lot of herself in me.
Wow.
Yep.
That's so huge. That's, And then there it is, that were you within that book, were you identifying her as the source of it, or she took that away on her own?
She took it away on her own. Yep.
Wow. So what helps you today to be, to like, to continue being your best self as a wife? Like, do you still run into like rough days, or is it different now after the book?
I still have my days. I actually do a blog post and things like that. And, you know, I do my transparency moment where I show where I've dropped the ball as a wife, because I don't want anyone to ever think, hey, here's a real life coach and she's Miss Perfect. No, there's days where I drop the ball. But I'm more aware now that I've written the book. I'm more aware of when, and I can feel when I'm going down that slippery slope. And I can kind of dial back and bring myself back in. And I'm also able to now communicate with my husband and say, babe, this is how I'm feeling. We need to have a conversation.
Right.
I actually just did that over the weekend. I sent him a text. I was like, yo, something's a little off. We need to talk. We need time, just the two of us.
Right.
So that opened up the conversation where he was like, you know, I was kind of feeling the same way too. So let's talk. So I'm more aware. I'm not going to say that I've conquered all of it, but I'm very much more aware of it.
So it's actually been a bit therapeutic for the both of you, because I'm sure he learned a lot as well.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, the things I want everyone to know about, the ways that they can access your platforms and become involved in the things that you have going on. So you have your show that's going on, and you have your blog, and there's a lot of different speaking engagements and different networking events that you're a part of and on a lot of panels, and you've helped so many people throughout the year. So how can our listeners find you? How can they find out about, you know, anything that you have going on? How, and most importantly, well, not most importantly, but one of the top things is, where can they purchase your book?
Okay. Well, they can get my book on Amazon. So it is on Amazon. Being a wife just got real, things I wish I knew before I said I do.
Right.
And they can just simply type Tanya, T-A-N-Y-A Barnett. And so my book will come up. And then I'm Real Wife Coach on all social media, as well as my website is realwifemovement.com.
Right. Okay. So everything is, it, can they source everything from your website, Real Wife Movement, and then get out to everything else, like your speaking engagements? Is that on social media that they can, if you're in their town, they can come by and see what's going on? Or so is that the main place that they can go to, your website, or is like your social media platforms, Instagram or something, a better source for being up to date?
Yeah, social media, Real Wife Coach. If they go on there, they can find me. I usually post wherever I'm going to be speaking. I don't put it on my website only because of the world we live in today.
Yes.
I don't want, like, you know, my schedule and addresses and all that.
Yeah.
You know, definitely on social media, if they're following me on social media, they can see where I am and if I'm in their town. And they can also sign up for my email newsletter. So if they go on realwifemovement.com, there is a space and type in their email address, and then I can go ahead and get them. They'll be on my newsletter. And I used to send our newsletter weekly.
Okay. And so that's Real Wife, not real life people. It's Real Wife with a W, realwifemovement.com.
Yep.
So do you have anything that's coming up that we need to keep an eye out for?
Right now I'm taking a little bit of a break.
It is the holidays.
So I am taking a break, spending time with my children. But definitely in the, I have a brand new book that'll be coming out called Today's History Maker.
Say that again. Say the title for me again.
Today's History Maker.
Okay.
And I'm featuring African-American female entrepreneurs who are paving the way in the 21st century. And so there's over 40 African-American female entrepreneurs in that book. And the website is todayshistorymakers.com.
Okay, perfect. And this, before we go, just quickly tell me about your foundation for the kids and books. Okay. I think that's so tremendous. I didn't want us to end without you talking about that a little bit.
Sure. It is Forever Free Books. And Forever Free Books was started when I saw that children in first grade, a lot of them did not have books. And these are kids, believe it or not, that lived in the suburbs. And so I went on social media, asked people if they can purchase a book. I wound up getting over 300 books.
Wow.
So from there, I started Forever Free Books, and we started it. Actually, we just celebrated our fourth anniversary, and we have given out over 12,000 books nationally and internationally in the Bahamas.
Well, it's such there's such a great need for it. A couple episodes ago, I had on our guest was NBA player Simone Edwards, and she was talking about her story when she was growing up, that books weren't accessible for them, and that a couple of her friends, they used to wait until the dump truck came, and they knew or realized that that particular dump truck or whatever day it was dumped books in the dumpster as well. And so they would actually jump into that dump to get books. And that's how she would get her stories and stuff like that. So it's something that, you know, it's so easy to take it for granted. You have books thrown around or, you know, just laying there. But there's so many other children that is how they develop their mind outside of their immediate neighborhood or circumstances based on where they may grow up or live. And so it's such a tremendous thing that you're doing, and so commendable. So I wanted to make sure that we took time to talk about
thank
that.
You.
Tanya, thank you so very much for spending this time with me and being on my anniversary show. I will forever remember that. And thank you for sharing so much goodness and for sharing this part of you on the show and in the book and with the skinny listeners and I today. And it's just, I think it takes such great courage and strength to share the way that you do and to share the way that you have. And it's so empowering because many times people feel alone when they're going through their situations, or they feel like their situations are just unique to them. And looking at the pictures of what seems like a perfect relationship or what seems like a happy relationship. And there are very many healthy and happy relationships out there, just as there are very many unhealthy ones. So what you're doing, I think it's great because, you know, women need that. And you're touching on women prior to them getting married and the ones who are married, the ones who want to not be married and the ones who have gotten out of being married. So I think it's really great what you're doing. And I wish you all the great blessings up ahead. I know that there's tremendous blessings for you and for Don and your family. And again, thank you so much. I really appreciate you being here and sharing this. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you. And congratulations on your anniversary. That is fantastic. I know, anniversaries are huge. You know, when you meet a milestone, you're like, yes, another year.
So. I know. Yes. Yeah. But before we go, where can they hear your show?
They can go to my YouTube channel, which is Tanya Speaks Life.
Okay. Okay. And what I'll do is I'm going to get all of this information for you guys and put it in the show description so that you can get the links. And just in case you weren't able to jot things down or in case you missed something, I'm going to have all of that from Tanya for you guys so you can link everything. So, that's been a fantastic show. And now remember that we're on iTunes, in SoundCloud, and Google Play. So please subscribe and share The Skinny with others and take a second to review and rate the show on whatever platform it is that you're listening on. And follow us on Instagram, and that's at Shayzon, S-H-A-Y-Z-O-N. Z as in zebra, O-N as in Nancy. And of course, Shayzon.com is the main port for everything we do. If you want to know more about the show, more about me and what's going on and coming up, and feel free to drop us a line if you have a topic that you'd love to hear on the show, or if you have any questions about this episode or any other episode. So I pray this was an episode that was motivating, inspirational, educational, empowering, all of that good stuff. And I hope you enjoyed your time together with Tanya and I. So don't forget the quote I said, well, actually the verse I said in the beginning, Zechariah 4:10, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. So you've been listening to The Skinny with me, Shayzon, and Tanya today. Thank you so much for sharing this time with us. As always, remember, you have the right and deserve to live a beautiful and empowered life. Stay tuned for next week's podcast. Hugs and kisses. Bye.